Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's Uncle Silk.
And Dan.
Dan. What it do, man? No Ahmad today. Ahmad's taking the night off. A little vacay. Got some things, some personal things to take care of. We vibing and kicking it. How you feeling, Dan?
I'm feeling good, man. Was a nice, relaxing weekend. Was able to get out with some friends for a little while. Was able to... What else did I do? Sat by the pool for a bit, got some exercise in.
Nice.
Not too bad. Not too bad. What about you?
Work on your tan?
I did. I'm going to be nice and tan when I see you this weekend.
What's up? I didn't do a whole lot, man. Just a whole lot of work. I podcast with my man Chris. I found out you was on Chris's show as well. I podcast with Chris over the weekend. Just got on a couple of different podcasts and just was chilling. Spent some time with the family, worked out with my son. Not a whole lot.
What'd you and Chris talk about?
Food, lifestyle changes, just healthcare.
Yeah.
Diets.
Yeah, we get to chop it up. So if you're not familiar, it's the Zensational podcast. It's our buddy Chris Warren. Him and Paul Sammons and myself last week talked a little bit about recruiting and about getting a job and the do's and don'ts and some of the, I guess, just things that people don't know about the recruiting world and finding a new job. So go check it out. It's the Zensational podcast. So looking forward to hearing your episode probably the next couple of days, right?
Next week.
All right. Well, very good. And then this weekend, I get to see you. We're going to hang out on Friday. We're going to go boating for a bit. Saturday, we're going to chop it up. But do you want to pimp your event up a little bit?
Yeah, I'll pimp it up, Dan. Yeah, for sure. We're going to be hanging out at the center in St. Pete. That's the center. And we're having a Final Four watch party with some guys that's out there. We're going to have a live DJ, live saxophonist, different bands and music. We got Made Coffee going to be out there along with a couple of dispensaries. It's a watch party. So if you're in the St. Pete area, pull up. You can check my bio. You can search Big Three Roll Up on Eventbrite to find tickets for the event. But yeah, we out there from 3 to 12 midnight hanging out, kicking it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be out there for a while. It's going to be a good event. I'm excited for it. The weather's going to be perfect. Everything about it's going to be perfect. I'm excited to see you guys and then have a little boat trip Friday.
I'm excited about that, man.
Stay safe on the seas, but we'll be out there on Friday. Looking forward to it. But if you're in the area, I want to hang out. Definitely come swing by the center on Saturday.
Get to work on my tent.
There it is. There it is. Well, let's get into the show. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about for a random March. We got a lot of stuff going on. So shout out to our friends over at the Thomas Firm, which is going to help you handle insurance claims for your property damage to your home or business. Their lawyers have a ton of experience. So give them a call with anything dealing with roof damage or leaks from storms, water damage, hail damage, hurricanes, sinkholes, fires. Anywhere in the state of Florida, give them a call, 813-221-2525, tntattorneys.com. Again, that's 813-221-2525. Silk, on Wednesday is pro day for the Florida Gator seniors and juniors that declared early for the NFL draft. Who are you most looking forward to seeing? And then let's kind of go through everybody and see what they can do and can't do to try to improve their draft stock. So who are you most looking forward to out of the folks that are there to perform on Wednesday?
Yeah, a few guys we think of them. I think of Tess Crazy, Kadarius Toney, Grimes. But I'm interested to see what TJ Slayton do. He's a big athletic guy. We've seen him do some dunks and some 360 stuff here and there in the gym. So I want to see how he tests as a big man, see if he can move up the board. Also, Brett Heggie. I want to see what our trenches, how they measure up in the weight room and stuff with the rest of these guys that are in the draft. Another guy that can move up is Sean Davis. I think he needs a good workout to make sure to solidify himself as a draft pick as well. So I want to see how Sean Davis tests as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that one of the people that obviously we know that Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney are going to test really well. You know, Trevon Grimes, really, we've always said, you know, had a good year this year, but is a combine guy. He's a weight room guy. He's athletically freaky, where I think that he'll be able to put up some numbers that I think will catch some folks' eyes as a sleeper pick. Outside of the names that you said, I like all of those. I like the name Stone Forsythe as well. You know, he came on, you know, this year as a potential chance of making it, you know, in the NFL. Not sure if he's going to get drafted or not. If he does, he's probably a sixth, seventh round guy. But I'm excited to see where he might be able to go and what he might be able to do. I know that he's been working hard and, you know, had a good kind of underrated career or season, at that left tackle position, holding down Kyle Trask. So those are the folks. Obviously, you know, Kadarius Toney's going to have a big day. Kyle Pitts is going to have a big day, you know, but there's a lot of folks on here. So let's go ahead.
Real quick. Who do you think faster, Sean Davis or Marco Wilson?
I'm going to go Marco Wilson. What about you?
That's a tough one. I don't even know the answer to that. I'm going to go. It really is tough. I'm going to go Sean Davis. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like you have to, right? All right, well, let's play the game real quick. Who do you think's faster, Kyrie Campbell or TJ Slayton?
Give me Slayton.
Give me Campbell. And then I don't know if this is 100% fair, but we'll do it anyway. Stone Forsythe or Brett Heggie?
Yeah, give me Heggie.
I'll go with Forsythe. Very good.
How fast do you think Brad Stewart over or under 4.4?
4.4? I'm going to go over. Actually, you know what? These are teams timing these kids. I'll go under. Friendly. I'll give like a 4.12.
No, I ain't gonna go nothing crazy like that. I think he'd be like, I think he's mid 4.4 high or low 4.5 ish.
Yeah, I think he's probably. I think he'll probably test high 4.4. I think if it was the actual combine, he'd probably be a low 4.5 guy. So Kyle Pitts was clocked going to 4.46 the other day. You think he can do that with scouts in the crowd, or do you think that was just kind of a one time thing?
Yeah, I think he's capable of running that 40 consistently. I think he can hit 4.4, low 4.5. For a guy that's 6'6", that's crazy regardless. But yeah, I think he can run a consistent high 4.4, low 4.5.
Yeah, I see it. So let's go through everybody that's there, see what they can do. We don't have to obviously go in depth with everybody. Kyle Trask, what are you looking to see out of him? And what draft grade or round do you think that he goes in?
It's just so tough, man. I'm not good with like predicting quarterback drafts at all, because mm-hmm. you just never know what these scouts are looking for. I think the difficult throws, the hash mark throws is what I think could move him up some boards. I think that's the question in his game is lack of athleticism probably a little bit, and then can he make the big throws, the NFL throws? So being able to hit those throws in the workouts. I think Cam just hit touch pass. I think he's elite at touch passes. I think that's what he's elite at. He'll shine there. I think they want to see the things they think he can't do. Like, they know he can do the touch passes, but I think scouts, for him to move up the draft board, he need to do some things that scouts think he can't do, and that's to be able to make those difficult throws on the hashes.
Yeah, I actually think that not having a combine might actually play in his favor. You know, we saw in the a game against Oklahoma, that when he was trying to, you know, complete passes to wide receivers he wasn't as familiar with, he struggled a little bit more. Now, obviously, there's a lot of things that happened in that game, but, you know, we noticed during that game, you know, he struggled with hitting some of the spots and the targets of, and it's not all on him either, but I think you put him with Pitts, Tony, and Grimes, his three, you know, biggest targets this season when he's out there, you know, working with those, working in front of those scouts. I think that that's going to be about as best case scenario as that you can have, rather than throwing him in with a, you know, a wide receiver from, you know, Illinois and a wide receiver from Arizona State, you know, instead at the combine like you normally would.
I agree.
Kadarius Toney, obviously for him, you just want to see the speed, right? What else do you want to see from him?
Yeah, just hit 4.4. If he hit 4.3, he really gonna make some money. I think that's what we all looking for. Can he get on the 4.4? And I think that'll solidify him in the first round, in my opinion. So yeah, if some people got him in late first round, where you think he goes?
I think he's gonna probably slip to the early second round. I think unless he has a really good combine and something just really stands out. I think that he's going to slip, you know, once you get past, you know, when you're talking about the difference between pick 22 and pick 42, all of those names are so jumbled. There's so many different people, you know. Do I think he's worthy of being a first round draft pick? I don't know, but it only takes one team, right? It only takes one team to take a flyer on you. Mel Kiper actually has him going number 22 overall. He also has Kyle Pitts going number 5. Overall, I don't know if I see Kadarius Toney as the 100% complete player to go draft in the first round. But, you know, if you're filling a specific role on a team, then hey, maybe
I think he showed that he can run the route tree, and he done a lot of things as like to show he's a pure wide receiver. Hands, there's no questions about that anymore. I just think if he is 4.3. His playmaking abilities, I think somebody's going to take a shot at him if he hits 4.3. So I think if he get on the 4.4, I see him going first round. But he just got to get under that. People love fast times, bro.
Especially
the highlights are there.
And especially when you compare him to people like Tyreek Hill and some of these other guys that everybody's jonesing for wanting a player like. So,
what do you think about, like, because I've been seeing this smoke around about, like, his, I seen like his rap, his music brought up as like off the field or some things that GMs may be concerned about.
I don't know if that's true or not. You know, last year he had I don't know if I buy it just because of the difference that he made over the course of the last year. You know, I think for anybody that wants to be in music or, you know, is gifted in multiple things, I don't know any Kadarius Toney rap songs, right? So I'm not sure what his gift level is there, you know, but I think a lot of people, you know, try to figure out how to balance both, right? They have an artistic side, they have the athletic side. And I think throughout your life, it's going to ebb and flow. And I think it got to a point last year where, you know, he saw himself and saying, hey, maybe there's a music career here, but you know, obviously the work that he put in last year, especially without an offseason and everything else, paid massive dividends. So, you know, is it a concern? Maybe. But, you know, I think that if you saw what he did in, you know, 1 year and if he could stay committed to it, then, you know, what can you be in another year or another 2 years? I think people are just like looking for stories now more than anything. And I don't think nobody's going to not draft him because of, you know, his rap career.
Shout out to the young Joker, man.
Have you listened to any of his music? Is it any good?
Yeah, for sure. I follow along with his music. It's different. I follow him and Brian Edwards have dropped some music.
Who would win in a versus?
I don't know. Like we
blow my train.
Who is it? Brian Edwards and Joker. I don't know who went in that versus, but yeah, I listened to some of his music. Acquired taste. genre is like more for like my kids. Like it's like kind of like Lil Uzi Vert, like that genre lane. Mm.
Yeah, that's definitely not my type of music. But you know, shout out to a young Joker.
I think he's talented. I think he's a creative kid, understands branding and marketing, the whole Joker thing. He gets a lot of stuff.
And that's what you're looking for, though, right? Is somebody to be able to market and brand themselves. So,
absolutely. They're also a little afraid of Antonio Brown effect, though. So,
Let's see. Who else? Trayvon Grimes. What do you want to see out of Grimes?
4-4-40. I don't know. I think he's just a mid-rounder. He's 4th, 5th round guy. I don't think, unless he just goes to do something absolutely crazy, I don't think he could do a whole lot at this point. I think he had a good Senior Bowl. He wanted to go run a 4-4 and jump and test well, but I think he's going to go run a 4-4, jump good, be a 4th, 5th rounder.
Okay. Kyrie Campbell and TJ Slayton.
Man, I don't. What do you think Slayton's draft stock is? He's just a big athletic guy. I think he could probably surprise some people. I don't know what his workout has been look like or what type of shape he in, but I think TJ could probably shock us and then some teams fall in love with how well he can move. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see it. If he can maybe put it together, if he's lost some, I don't want to say lost some weight, but if he's figured out how to move a little bit better, he has a lot of the skills, right? He was a highly ranked guy. He showed flashes. I just don't know if he has all of the things to put together to be able to compete in a position where there's not a ton of depth on every team, right? There's maybe two of you on a team. Right. And is TJ Slayton one of the best 65-ish people that does what he does? I don't – probably not. Do I think he'll get an opportunity? Yeah, I think if he gets drafted, he'll probably be a 5th, 6th, 7th round guy, which is crazy because at one point people were slating him to be a first round draft pick going into this year, not really based on anything other than, potential. And that's just kind of been his career.
First round is a bit much.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of been what we've always wanted out of TJ Slayton, right? Like when he committed to UF, it was, hey, this guy is a big name, but he's got potential. Right, he's raw but got potential. His entire career,
a lot of people thought he should have played offensive line. He played more offensive line in high school. That was more of his decision in the last staff, right, letting him play defensive tackle. So it was always a bit of a project when he came on from the start.
Right.
And then on paper, like, it all makes sense. Like, you see the measurables. Like, he could do a lot of things that guys his size shouldn't be able to do. But then it just don't translate to film on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. And then what about Sean Davis and Brad Stewart, both safeties that are there? Both had very up and down career. Sean Davis a little bit more reliable. Brad Stewart definitely a bigger hitter. What are your thoughts?
I think Sean gets drafted. I'm not sure about Brad Stewart. Brad Stewart needs a very good workout because he has – a lot of questionable off-the-field stuff as far as, like, suspensions and things of that nature. So he needs a really good workout. He don't have a lot of great film out there. I think Sean Davis has kept his nose clean for the most part, been available, and he has good film out there. He just got to test good. He's an undersized guy. He had a good Senior Bowl as well. But I think Sean could get drafted late. I don't know. I think Brad Stewart is going to be a little iffy. What, you think Brad gets drafted?
No, I don't think either one of them gets drafted.
You don't think Sean gets drafted either?
No. I think if he does, somebody takes a flyer on him and maybe around 6 or around 7. But again, I don't think either one of them have great measurables for what you want out of that position. I don't think that either of them really have a ton when it comes to highlight film, like worthy things of doing the position well. I think that they all have plays, but I don't think that there's any one particular thing that either one of them excel out that would make me want to draft him, either one of them, over potentially somebody else, which is like sad, but here we are. I think that there's a chance. Who do you think has a better chance of making a roster, Sean Davis or Brad Stewart?
I'm just gonna say Sean Davis. No, they don't test for weed in NFL now, do they?
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay. I like Brad then.
Yeah, we'll see. I think I like Sean Davis a little bit more. We're just on the other side of each other today. Let's see, Stone Forsythe and Brett Hagee. anything out of them? I mean, do you think either one of them gets drafted?
I think Stone gets drafted. I'm with you on both those guys, Brad Stewart and Sean Davis. It's going to be – they need an incredible workhouse to get drafted. They need to really spark something. But I think one guy has a shot, it'll be Sean. I think Stone gets drafted. He's huge. We'll see how he tests us. But I think Stone gets drafted. I don't know about Brett Hagee. He has health issues. Staying healthy is going to be a concern. Anybody that's drafted him, he doesn't have great film either. I think Stone had a very good year.
I think he did too. I think he's very underrated career or underrated season. I think Brett Hagee, the biggest thing that could help
good year.
Brett, yeah. I think the only thing that can help Brett Hagee is the amount of positions that he's played and his versatility there. But like you said, he absolutely has question marks about his health, and that's just not what you want after a guy that, you know, truly doesn't probably have a position like Brett Hagee. Is he a guard? Is he a center? He's definitely not a tackle. So I guess we'll see. And then last but not least, Marco Wilson and Evan McPherson.
Evan was surprising that he left early like that, but he'll make a roster regardless. I just don't think he's a kicker, so I don't think he's going to get drafted.
I was surprised that he left too, simply because he didn't have a great season. But here we are. He's gone. Marco Wilson. I don't know anything about kickers. I don't know what he's going to do at Pro Day. You know, they all get signed right after. They try to beat out the kicker that's been there for 30 years. He'll probably go head-to-head against Martin Gramatica, and we'll see where they end up.
Kickers always get hurt, so he'll be all right. Whatever, he's a kicker. You always go back. I mean, how many NFL
– he can always go salaries? Be an accountant somewhere, right?
Yeah, you always go pay for a year of school, go back, whatever. You have open arms. Go live your life, kid. Marco, I don't think Marco probably tests is decent. He's a workout kid. I'm pretty sure Chad have him in good shape. So I think he'll run a 4.4 and jump good enough to have a good pro day. But I just don't think he has the film and the resume to get drafted. Defensive backs are at a premium. It's a lot of good ones, though.
Yeah, and they seem to be staying in the league a little bit longer. I just don't think that Marco Wilson, despite the shoe gate, despite everything else, I just don't think that he's very good, right? I think that he had a fine, you know, freshman year. I know he got injured. He just never seemed like he was the same player after that. Throw in his celebration stuff, throw in the shoe, throw in everything else. It's just, I don't know. There's just a whole heck of a lot of stuff that doesn't have me interested in Marco Wilson.
Outside of Hendo, who's been developed well in the secondary?
Developed well in the secondary. I don't know. Probably nobody. Right. I don't know if there's anybody. I mean, Kyer Elam's getting better. Obviously came in.
I mean, because talents like him and Hendo are just like.
Right. They're different.
Right.
But I don't think that there's a ton of players that you expected to be much worse. I don't think there's any player that is surprised you with how much better they are.
Right.
I mean, are you surprised by anybody, like safety or cornerback?
No, just looking at it on paper, like we brought some 4-stars, some guys, some recruiting guys, some guys with some accolades indoors. But I'm like just looking at it on paper, who's been developed and brought, you know what I'm saying, to the NFL? You just got the because Elam is going to be that next guy that's the premium defensive back to come out of UF. But those are just, you know, like special talents, him and Hendo. Like, it's not a whole lot of development you got to do there. You just fine tuning things, letting them learn the defense and working more on their mental. They're going to work out like crazy. And they already working with pros in high school. You know, like they're dealing with DB coaches that work with NFL guys when they're in 10th grade. But some of these other guys, they're just not getting developed. Brad Stewart was a highly recruited guy in the secondary. We had a lot of hope and wishes for Sean Davis. These guys was well sought out in the recruiting process.
Yeah, no, I don't think that there's anybody like you said that's particularly done substantially better than their rating. I think that there's a number that have done worse. I think that there's a number that had good ratings that probably weren't or should have been rated that high. You know, I have some hope about Rashard Torrance. I've got some hope about Trevez Johnson. I've got some hope, you know, with Kamar Wilcoxon.
Right.
You know, I hope
we got different guys. That's the thing. We question the past development because we got fresh faces now in the secondary. So those guys weren't going to develop. So like that, these new hires are hires that we needed because that room, these guys are not getting drafted. When guys aren't getting drafted and the production is not there, you need a new face. And we got fresh faces. We'll see what these new guys can do.
So Florida had 3 10-win seasons in a row. And outside of Kyle Trask, Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts, those three we know are going to get drafted. Trayvon Grimes is likely going to get drafted.
Mm.
Outside of that, Kyrie Campbell, Slayton, Davis, Stewart, Forsyth, Heggie, and Wilson. Maybe one of them gets drafted. Maybe. But you're coming off 3 10-win seasons, and you're only putting 3 guys, maybe 4. I don't know.
I think they've done well with putting guys in the NFL. I think this is just one of those years.
Yeah.
Like next year, they're gonna reel off quite a few. We're gonna have some talent flying out of here, and then they got the high draft picks as well. They're on a roll of top 10 picks, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Kyle Pitts does, then that's two years in a row that they get a top 10 draft pick, which is again not something to scoff at. And you know, Kyle Pitts, if he goes top 5, I don't know when the last time Florida had a top 5 draft pick. Early 2000s?
That's a good question.
I know we've never had a number 1. Let's see. I know we've had a number 2. Let's see.
Where did Dante go? Like 6? Something like that?
Dante went 6, yeah. Paul Dewhart in 1945 went number 2 overall. Well, let's see what we got here. I think so. Steve Spurrier got drafted number 3 overall. I didn't know he got drafted that high. Do you know that?
Yeah, things I knew that, bro.
Things you learn. You knew Steve Spurrier went number 3?
No. Yeah.
A bad Gator. Wes Chandler went number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Lomas Brown went number 6 in 85. Trace Armstrong went number 12. Yeah, Kevin Carter went number 6. Ike Hilliard went number 7.
Are you going to go down the whole list, bro?
Fred Taylor went number 9. Well, I'm just going, you know, giving people their shouts.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Jarvis Moss went 17. Derek Harvey went 8. No wonder what happened to Derek Harvey, man. Joe Hayden went number 7. And then, yeah, Dante Fowler went number 3.
Oh, Fowler went 3. Okay. Yeah.
So,
Jags. Yep. How do you remember that?
Yep. That's your team. They got Taven Bryan in the first round, just a couple short years later. Well, that's the NFL draft for you. We'll see where we are at in the next few weeks. But end of the day, congratulations to those that are competing in the Pro Day on Wednesday. This next segment is brought to you by our friends over at Roof Soldier, which is a veteran-owned company that specializes in all aspects of residential and commercial roof replacement and repair. Give them a call, 1-877-ROOFS-FL or roofsoldier.com. Again, 1-877-ROOFS-FL, roofsoldier.com, all over the state of Florida. Tell them Stadium and Gale sent you. Get a couple $100 taken off. Enjoy your new and repaired roof. Corey Bell was hired, former Gators defensive back coach, former UCF defensive back coach. I think he was at USF too, right? Or did I make that up? At some point, he was hired to be the assistant director of player personnel. He joins a staff of 4, and he is going to take over one of the vacated spots that was just open. So Florida has hired 2 new player personnel folks to their team. Do you like the hire? Are you indifferent about the hire?
Corey Bells is a familiar name. Of course, he has a lot of South Florida ties. He's definitely going to help us in the recruiting department. It's a great hire on paper. I don't want to sell it short at all. We're just familiar with the name, so you'll see a lot of people get more hype about one name than the other just because of familiarity. Him being familiar with the whole Big Three. He's coached here before as well, so we know what he can do recruiting-wise, and he has a reputation in South Florida. Real good hire. I wanted him as the DB coach, and they went and got him as an off-the-field guy. You know, when we hired Jules, I was like, man, why don't we just get Corey Bell? But I guess Dan had a different plan. Good hire.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I like the hire. You know, you can't really go wrong. He's a guy that has a bunch of connections, a bunch of relationships. Will hopefully just add a little bit more competency to that room and continue to get better. I mean, these
South Florida recruiting should be very strong with him, John, Brew, all those guys hanging out in South Florida. It should be very easy for us to do what we want to do down there a little bit. I don't think we'll be able to take what we want from Bama, but we should be able to compete with Miami, especially with being able to get visits and whatnot.
Yeah, and I mean, these are the types of hires that you want. You know, these are the types of hires that, you know, Alabama gets, you know, your former coaches.
Right.
Maybe not Alabama, maybe like Georgia, right? Your former coaches that, you know, go off the field. You know, he's a guy that's well-respected. He's a good coach. He's, you know, thought of highly by kids that, you know, met him when they were being recruited, whether they came to Florida or not. So getting a guy like him is definitely a good value add. I don't know how he compares to the rest of people that applied, but I'm excited to see Corey Bell. He was a good ambassador when he was here. I'm excited to see him join the team in an official capacity again.
I keep saying every time he rehires, he upgrades.
Yeah. And, you know, David Cooper, relatively unknown guy. This is who Corey Bell is going to take the spot of. But from a recruiting perspective, it's hard to argue that that he's not a phenomenal recruiter. There'll be a good value add to this team. So I don't know if you heard this, and I'm throwing it on your plate kind of last second here. There's a safety from West Virginia named Tykee Smith, or Tyke Smith. I think it's Tykee Smith, that put himself in the portal a few days ago. And Florida is in communication with him, a former four-star guy that Florida is in a has reached out to and is in discussion with. I know that he has talked to Notre Dame. I know that he has talked to Auburn. I'm trying to think of where else I heard that he's talked to. But
I think Georgia was mentioned, right?
Yeah, you're right. CBS ranked him as the number two safety prospect in the portal. Would have four more years to play simply because last year didn't count. But Tykee Smith, definitely a name that you want to take a look out for.
And I think a body that we need to land in our secondary. I think we got a lot of little iffy spots. I'm hearing good things from Marshall and Collier and those guys in the secondary. But this is what we both start recruiting at in other spots. So add some to the DB room. I wouldn't mind that get.
No, I think that Florida really needs that take.
Right.
You know, he would elevate a room that you have question marks in, right? And that's what you're using the portal for, is to elevate question marks and not just to just get the best player on the market. You know, Florida has unbelievable numbers of questions. We've talked about it kind of ad nauseum on this show. At the safety room and at the DB room. And I'm sorry, he only has 3 years left. He's played two seasons. But in those two seasons, he has 69 solo tackles, 42 assisted tackles, and a half, four interceptions, a touchdown, for nine pass deflections, and a forced fumble. So, you know, a guy that's come in with some proven, you know, ability. I think that he's talented. You know, I was watching a little bit of tape on him earlier. Talented, fast kid, rangy kid, has pretty good size, but for all intents and purposes, I think that makes that room better, just simply because I think he's more talented than some of the folks that have been there, or at least he's done it more than some of the other guys have. Let's see here. So let's talk a little recruiting before we get our friend Eric Fawcett to close out the Gator football season or basketball season. Oscar Delp, a four-star tight end out of Georgia, will be visiting on June 11th. A lot of the crystal balls have him pointed to going to the University of Georgia, but he will be visiting. Let's see. Alu Ba, who is a who's the 44th ranked player in the country, IMG, four-star offensive tackle, put Florida in his top six. Also, it seems like the weekend of June 4th.
Big fireworks. A lot of smoke.
Big fireworks. Yeah. Any thoughts that you have or knowledge that you have there?
Just some of the names. Four-star cornerback Earl Little Jr.
Yep.
He'll be in the building. Weak side defensive end, five-star Inai White. Anae White, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce that. Jaden Gibson, three-star wide receiver, well sought out guy. I think his recruitment is going to blow up. Who else we got coming in?
Tyler Booker, four-star offensive tackle. Right. Has announced that he'll be there as well.
Terrence Gibbs, a running back who also we received a crystal ball from Blake Adamin. Our running back room, the board is looking pretty spiffy. I think Greg Knox is doing a good job quietly. They're running back solid on campus, and everything's everything. He caught a lot of heat for a little bit, but I think the smoke is in another room, not his room.
Absolutely. A five-star athlete, Gentry Williams.
Right.
Is going to be on an official visit that weekend.
Yeah. So it should be a load of weekend. We'll keep up. I don't know if they got an official name for it, if it's Friday Night Lights or what's the whole vibe. But I would like to get some intel from the staff on what's the plans for that weekend. But they're loading up for a big one. Pause. See what's up, man. The visits are back. Yeah, pause. The visits are back.
Because the dead period is supposed to end at the end of May. Is that what is right. being You voted on June 4th, June 11th. A lot of things happening. So we will still get a facts only show out in the next few weeks to discuss recruiting with our boy Connor Clark. But with that being said, Silk, let's get our boy Eric Fawcett on the line. Breakdown Gators basketball one final time for this season. As always, this portion. Excited. Of our show, I know you're pumped. This portion of our show is brought to you by our friend Lee Friedland from the law firm of Friedland and Associates. Give him a call, 1-800-95-INJURED, or visit him at yourfightourbattle.com. Again, that's 1-800-95-INJURED, yourfightourbattle.com. Auto accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, criminal matters, and personal injury cases within every jurisdiction in the state of Florida. Put his number in your phone now. You never know when you might need it. Free consultation. Talk to him. Learn about what your options are. Again, auto accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home cases, criminal matters, and personal injury cases. Yourfightourbattle.com, 1-800-95-INJURED. Let's get our friend from the Great White North on the line.
Is that what they call Canada, the Great White North?
Eric, buddy, the Great White North, is that what they call Canada, or is that just an American thing?
I think Canadians like it. Anytime you can get great in there, they like it. But it's definitely north, and it's definitely pretty white here during the winter. So, yeah, that definitely will hear
Great White North overall. But apparently,
some parts of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, if I was a betting man, I would have won some money, because they all bet that you was gonna wear your Stadium and Gale shirt, man.
Well, you know what? While the end of the season was pretty rough, I would say for the Gators, the way that they lost, I still love the team. Thought I'd throw the jersey on for once. And you know, I got the number one for my guy Trey Mann, and looking forward to him going on to a good pro career. So I got his number one on for now. So no disrespect to the logo here on the show, but I would normally have the Stadium and Gale tee on, but today I got the jersey.
Oh, that's all good. We'll allow it.
All right, Eric, talk to us about what happened. Gators are up 12 with 9 minutes left, give or take. I might have that number reversed. Regardless, the Gators are up pretty big with not much time left in the game. Big collapse. What happened against Oral Roberts?
I'll point to two things. The second of which I'll get to. It's one of my favorite topics that I know people on the show love. But the first thing is something that we've seen from Mike White, and that's slowing the ball down. The Gators had kind of gotten their lead by kind of pushing it, getting some early offense, using drag ball screens or early ball screens before Oral Roberts could really set up their help defense. That's how Florida kind of got their buckets. But which Mike White said that he did this because he thought that his guys were tired and he thought that they were turning the ball over because they were playing fast. And that's why they started to slow things down. That answer does not satisfy me personally. I don't think it was the right decision. But at that point, Florida started to really slow things down and use the entire shot clock. And in doing that, what they really did was make it very easy for Oral Roberts to defend them, because Florida was dribbling the ball for 15 to 18 seconds, and then they would start their offense. So there was plays that they were running where Oral Roberts only needed to defend one action. So Florida would dribble the ball down, then they would try to run a post up for Colin Castleton. They would front it, and then suddenly it's like, oh, that's we made them quote unquote work for 20 seconds, but really all they had to do is try to front one post up. Ball gets reversed to someone like Noah Locke, not a great one-on-one player, and possessions were dying like that. So that happened a number of times, and that's kind of one of the big reasons why slowing it down didn't work for the Gators. And then the other thing that I pointed out on Twitter definitely got people pretty fired up the night of after the loss was Florida's starting group. That is their regular starting group game to game. They played really well in this one. They were plus nine, easily Florida's best lineup by a large margin, but they didn't play for the last 9.5 minutes of the game. And instead, they went to a lineup that had not played whatsoever in that game up until that point, and also one that hadn't done very well up until that point to the season. So Florida went from a lineup that was doing really well, the one that built them that lead. They went to a lineup that hadn't played at all whatsoever that game and hadn't been that great on the season, and they started to slip. So again, just some of the regular kind of warts that we saw from this team, struggling when they slow things down, struggling to score in the half court, and playing some lineups that straight up are kind of indefensible in my opinion. So definitely a few areas like that. And you play a team that's full of talent and playing their best basketball like Oral Roberts and you lose.
Where do the Gators go from here? So we haven't really talked much about it. We'll obviously talk a little bit more about the game, but the Gators Trey Mann announces that he's going to the draft, going to sign an agent. He's going to likely go in the first round. Colin Castleton announces today that he's not signing an agent, but is going to explore the opportunity. I would imagine that Florida expects him back. But with that, Noah Locke announces that he's leaving. Quez Glover announces that he's leaving. Where does Florida go from here?
Yeah, well, it's transfer portal season. We know that there's about 1,200 players in the portal right now, approaching 1/3 of all college basketball players. So there's tons of talent out there. Florida has been on Zoom calls today, one of which with a power forward named CJ Felder that I'm a big fan of, that I think they're going to be down kind of in the mix to up until the end. But you know what? Like they're going to have a whole lot of spots available, and there's a whole lot of talent out there. So it's kind of tough to talk what their roster is exactly going to look like, and even what their starting lineup is going to look like, just because if they go and hit a home run in the transfer portal, they could look awesome. And if they don't get a bunch of impact guys and you're looking at maybe Tyree Appleby being your best returning player, your best scorer, or even Colin Castleton, I really do like those players, but I'm not sure they're the best player on a team that's going to be near the top of the SEC. They only have one incoming recruit from high school. He's a five-star. His name's Kwesi Reeves Jr. I absolutely love him. I think you guys are probably going to need to have him on your show at some point, because he's an awesome, awesome young man and just a fantastic basketball player. And really, in a lot of ways, what Florida has just been desperately needing these last couple of years. 6'7", super bouncy, incredible shot maker, just one of the best shooters in the draft, and just so talented offensively. And then he's also 6'7" with huge bounce and super athletic. So they have an absolute stud coming in. They're one recruit in the 2021 class. Other than that, it's going to be a whole lot of portal action.
So who else is Florida going after in the portal besides Felder?
Right now, they just offered a player today who I think is fantastic. Stanley Amudi from South Dakota. They've actually offered a couple players. Brandon McKissick, again, from the Summit League, which is the league that Oral Roberts comes from. So I think that they saw like one thing that's really interesting about Oral Roberts is they weren't even an awesome team in the Summit League. They lost a bunch of games in the Summit League. So in seeing Florida and a bunch of these other teams, a bunch of them have offered all these players from the Summit League. So I think they realized that they're like, oh, this is actually pretty good. So Stanley Moody's one of them, just 6'6", really talented wing. Can fill it up, can rebound. He plays a lot like Keontae Johnson. And if they're looking for someone to maybe replace him, we don't know what Keontae Johnson's situation is, but whether they replace him or just want someone in that mold, he's fantastic. Brandon McKissick from University of Missouri at Kansas City. He, a lot of people think he's going to go to Kansas, which maybe speaks to the talent of a player like that. Or maybe he stays goes home to Missouri, goes and plays for the Tigers. But he was an all defensive player in that league. And also a fantastic score. And you know what? The Gators, Mike White came into the Gators as someone with a defense first kind of mindset. That's what he's known for. And the Gators haven't been awesome defensively this last couple of years. So they're really looking to upgrade there. So those are definitely some of the names to watch for.
Are any of those guys going to help him become the Great White South?
I'm going to say no. And that's one thing too. Like, I think people just overrate transfers all the time. Like if you look at recent history of transfers, people get so excited for all these players, whether it's just for an example, someone like a Kerry Blackshear, who was a great player at Virginia Tech, but he transfers and suddenly it's like, oh, here's a guy we think could be an All-American. Well, it's like, you know, from his fourth year to his fifth year of college basketball, were you really expecting that big of a leap, or was he kind of was what he was at that point? And then you also see, you always look at these, you know, these mid-major players that score 20 a game and you think like, oh, that's exciting. They're going to come and fill it up at the high major level. And we've just seen, like, we have the data. We can look at how these players have done. And you see that they just usually aren't awesome high major basketball players. A lot of them are good players, but not great. So that's even something I did before last season, trying to predict the stats of Anthony DeRuji and Tyree Appleby. And luckily my predictions were pretty close. And those predictions kind of showed that, yeah, that Tyree Appleby, who was a 17 or 18 point score in the Horizon League, was probably going to be an 11 point score in the SEC. And you know, that's great. That's good. But I think a lot of people are looking at some of these, you know, looking at the transfer portal, like it's going to be, you're going to get a star, you're going to get a leader. And that is just likely not the case. Yes, a couple of players do emerge. Carly Jones at Louisville was one who was just awesome this year. But more than likely, you're kind of, you know, filling out your fourth and fifth starter roles or your sixth man role. And I think that's how you kind of got to look at it from a Florida standpoint. Like, sure, maybe they land someone who ends up being their first or second best player or someone who's awesome, but they're probably finding someone who's their fourth or fifth starter and their sixth man. And I think that's just something that have to be realized with expectations, because yeah, Florida's almost certainly going to land two or three or maybe even four guys through the transfer portal. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that say, oh, look, they scored 18 points in Conference USA. They're going to be this awesome player in the SEC. And it's like, well, probably not. That probably means they're like a 7 or 8 point guy, which is good, but maybe doesn't move the needle as much as some people think.
Is my white seat comfortable?
My interpretation, probing, is that his seat is not anywhere near as warm as a lot of people would expect or maybe even like to see. I do think he's in a fairly comfortable seat right now. I think the administration loves the fact that he does things clean, that he's not tied up in the FBI probe that has plagued so many people. And I think that they truly believe that he can build something in Gainesville. So I know that is not going to be the answer that a lot of people maybe expected or wanted to hear, but I think that Mike White's shot is comfortable.
Yeah, it don't seem like his seat's hot. I agree with you. It don't seem like he's on the pro. Like Dan's seat seems a little hotter than his, and I think Dan is doing more. Of course, football is different, but like you would think his seat would be a little hotter. But yeah, he seems comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think that Mike White has also shown that his floor is pretty high. I mean, for as much as things have been a little rough the last couple of years, they've still made the NCAA tournament. And I think, I guess you argue the next question is like, well, you know, what's Florida looking to be? Are they looking to be a high floor, low ceiling program, or are they looking to hang banners? So that's going to be something that probably gets addressed. I do think if there's a rough year next year. Oh, yeah, go on, Silk.
I think style of play matters, not just like type of program. I think the style of play is annoying some of the fans as well. Like, we understand, okay, Mike White is this young guy that could maybe build a program. The style of play was a little bit more exciting, and the scoring is a little bit more consistent. But the scoring routes, the sitting on 12-point leads, like that type of basketball just isn't championship-style basketball. Great coaches don't play like that.
I hear you. That's something that for me, that the context matters so much. Like, for so many people, if Florida did make a Sweet 16, they might change their opinion, at least in a little bit, of Mike White. And it's like, well, does skating by Oral Roberts, like right. Let's say they just, you know, hit a miracle shot at the buzzer and got a steal and laid it in and win the game. Does blowing a lead in the round of 32 and just, you know, barely coming out on the right side of it, does that really change your opinion based on that last shot of the game? I mean, for some it does. For me, the context really matters. And again, that's something that for me, I mean, Florida's offense, their numbers are better than the eye test, in my opinion. I really do think that the Gators struggle offensively, and I think that is Mike White's biggest deficiency as a head basketball coach. I think he struggles to drop offense. I don't think he is he doesn't run very diverse offense, and I don't think he has gotten the best out of his talent. He just had an assistant, Jordan Mincy, who's been with him ever since Louisiana Tech. He just took the head job at Jacksonville, which, shout out to him. Love Jordan Mincy. Really glad he got this opportunity. But this is a huge, huge, huge opportunity for Mike White to hire someone who can really help him out on the offensive end. I truly talk think he that. Needs talk an offensive coordinator.
Speak on Mincy's. What did he bring to the table? What are we losing with Mincy leaving? That was a departure this week.
Yeah, but so Jordan Mincy, he was technically the lead assistant. He was one of the big player development guys, particularly for the guards. I think you see that, you know, Trey Mann, and he just had a really awesome season, of course, when with the way that with the Chris Chioza, how his season went under the Gators in his last couple of years. And even Andrew Nembhard, who did have a really productive year or 2 years in Florida before moving on. Florida's guards, they've gotten pretty good play out of that position. Jordan Mincy's been that guy. Jordan Mincy also... I mean, you see him as the lead recruiter on a lot of the big recruits that that Florida has got. So I think that you probably think, yeah, you're losing something recruiting. I think when you've got a young, energetic coach like him, he's got to really stand out versus a bunch of the you know, the older assistants in the SEC. So I think something's going to be missed there. And there's been a couple of years now where Jordan Mincy's name has came up in some mid-major discussions. To be quite honest with you, I thought he was going to end up with a better head coaching job than Jacksonville, with all due respect to that program. But yeah, I'm happy for him. And Florida's really needs to nail this hire here.
Eric, I want to ask you a question. Because you mentioned it, and I started to think of all of the people that have transferred to Florida and a lot of the talent that's come in. One of the things that we've been talking about is player development. I was thinking also of a lot of the transfers that have come in. You know, your Jalen Hudson, your Kerry Blackshear, Anthony DeRuji, Appleby. Not putting any of these guys down, but it seemed like on paper, Florida was getting a lot more talented, you know, paper or, you know, players. And then you throw in a, you know, a couple five stars, a couple highly ranked four stars. And I don't want to name them by names, but have just not been able to develop. Outside of Trey Mann, it just seems like development is really lacked in Gainesville. What do you think the reason is? Is it a coaching thing? Is it a system thing? Is it just really hard and Florida got spoiled for a while? But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I do have thoughts. You know, to be honest, I think in basketball, the role that coaching plays in development is often overstated, in my opinion. With the way that they play, you know, two games a week, with their travel, with the amount of hours they're allowed by the NCAA in the gym, there's just so little opportunity for players in the season to really have opportunities to go, you know, one-on-one with a coach or in small groupings with a coach and have him work through development. So the amount of player development that really or skill development, I should say, that really takes place during the season is probably much, much less than people would expect. And that's not just Florida. That's everywhere. So I think a lot of it has to do with, like, are these players disciplined enough to do things on their own time, to come in after hours, to put in the work in the off season? And, you know, again, without saying names, some of the players that are no longer on campus, they were known as guys that did not put in that time. And you kind of saw that they didn't develop. I will say something that's pretty apparent, I would say, is that Florida's had some good success with centers and they've had good success with point guards. It's been a lot of their wing players that have not developed particularly well. And I think that you can look at the way that Florida plays offensively and you can see the fact that they don't really utilize their wings very much, that they just love to play more pick and roll than just about anyone in the country. Well, that's almost always your center going up and setting a screen for your point guard. So Florida plays a whole lot through their centers and a whole bunch through their point guards, and they don't run a lot for their wings. They didn't run Noah Locke off a lot of screens and get him the three-point shots you probably like to see from someone who is that good of a shooter. You don't see them running off curls and getting that advantage for a guy like Scotty Lewis, who is so explosive, but not a great ball handler. So yeah, get him off a curl, get him going downhill towards the hoop where he can use that athleticism. Florida hasn't done a lot of that. And that is something where I do think that Florida's very limited offensive system, that is a lot of just ball screening, straight ahead, high ball screen. I think it's good for their point guards. I think it's good for their centers, but I do think that style of play is part of the reason that a lot of these wings haven't panned out in the way that a lot of people would have expected.
Silk, anything else?
No, man. He just, you know, seats comfortable. That ruined my evening. Life was okay until then, but seats comfortable. So. I just want to enjoy basketball again. Like, I want Mike White to do well. Like, I was cheering for my son. My son was in Chicago, and I got caught up in the hype, you know, on the Virginia Tech game. My son lulled me into cheering. And then the next game to go out like that, it was just like, I want us to win. Like, no fan wants us to lose. It's just not fun basketball right now, man. Like, it was fun watching Billy and them guys. Even the bad seasons, they ran, man. Like, it was fun to watch. It's just not fun to watch right now. Trey Mann was fun to watch. I'll give you that. It was fun to watch. A little Castleton, too. Spell like we underachieved.
Yeah, I mean, I do really like that you point out. Yeah, I really do like that you point out that style of play really does matter. Yeah, I like that you point out that style really does matter, and that you want to see the players having fun. You want to see them playing with intensity, and that's how, especially, you know, it's something I asked you before last season still, because just like how do you get the casual fan who's maybe, you know, football first, second, and third, how do you get them to care about Florida basketball? Well, one, it's beat your rivals, which is something you said, and then it's also have a style of play that they can connect to, and those things both really do matter. And I think, again, the fact that Florida has not been able to get the most out of a lot of these, you know, really highly rated players that come in. A lot of that comes down to style of play. And again, I think that Florida's, when they go to hire someone to replace the Jordan Mincy spot, I really think they've got to be thinking who can coach offense first, second, and third. And I think something that Mike White needs to be able to do is to really give the reins to an offensive coordinator and just understand this is, you know, as a coach, I'm not great at this. I can find someone who's better than this. Let me focus on what I do well, and that's, you know, defense. And let's go from there. So, I really think a lot hinges on this hire, which you don't always hear with assistant coaching searches in basketball, but I think that's the case here in Florida.
Any names?
There's one guy that has been floated around. Can't say his name for sure, but he's a West Coast guy of currently at a school that runs really good offense that I'm a fan of. So if that's the case, I would I'd really like that. But a little early in the season, the way the contracts work in basketball, we'll see once the NCAA tournament officially finishes, and we'll go from there. But definitely I'll be looking at some guys that I think the Florida should be looking at and hopefully float those out there.
Eric, Colin Castleton announced that he's not signing with an agent, but is looking at the NFL draft. Is there a potential chance that he goes? What is his draft potential? Or do you think he makes it back to Florida?
I think he makes it back to Florida. I really like Colin Castleton as a player, but man, it's a tough scene out there for big men trying to get drafted, trying to get spots in the NBA. There's just so few of them, so few spots for those kinds of guys. And yeah, I think for Castleton, he's going to need to bulk up a little bit more. He's going to have to stretch out his touch as an offensive player. I think he'll get an opportunity with the G League team whenever he chooses to be done college, hey, this is why the rule's there. Get him out there to talk to some teams and see what they feel, and maybe he comes back really hungry to have one more really good year before he maybe goes pro. I mean, it really worked for Trey Mann. That's what he did last summer. Got to talk to some teams, hear what they wanted him to work on, and he worked on those things, and now he's going to be a first round pick. So happy that Colin Castleton is utilizing the rules, and I do think he'll be back at Florida.
Where is Trey Mann likely going to get drafted? I think he's kind of all over the place, but.
Yeah, I mean, if you look historically at who the most accurate mock draft is, it's the ESPN one, the Draft Express guys at ESPN by a long shot. They're awesome. And they have Trey Mann 15th, which is pretty much the highest that you'll see pretty much anywhere. So I think that's pretty interesting. But man, everyone's looking for guys who can make shots off the dribble. And man, we just saw that from Trey Mann over and over and over again. He's just got that ability to get in and out of dribble moves so quickly, to rise up and hit shots off the move. It's exactly what the NBA is looking for. So I think he's going to be a first round pick for sure. I would have him more like, maybe early 20s. But the fact that ESPN right now has him 15th, that's got to say something, because those guys are super well sourced and very well at what they do. So there's got to be some teams that are looking at taking him that high.
Perfect. And then we're in the Elite Eight right now. Games are starting now or ish. Who do you have winning the NCAA tournament?
I have Baylor. I love Baylor. I think that Gonzaga, who most people have winning, I think they're fantastic offensively. I think Baylor's just one tier below them offensively, but they're probably two or three tiers ahead of them defensively. So I love Baylor, and I'm riding them.
Pause. Shout out to former Florida Gators great Andrew Nembhard, who had a big game in the Sweet 16. He had a bad round of 64 and a bad round of 32, if it makes you feel any better. So.
Hey, Eric, real quick question, since we're talking a little hoops.
Yeah.
What do you think? The Lakers beat Brooklyn in 4 or 5 games now.
Oh, my
think?
God.
Ooh, I got to go 6. I like your confidence, 6? Though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you saw my Miami Heat got Victor Oladipo. So,
championship. No, we're talking championship basketball, Dan.
Yeah, okay. Nope.
Yeah, Lakers, Raptors, we're championship basketball fans here.
Right. Oh, okay. Gotcha. You're a Raptors fan? I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Pretty typical right. Canadian stuff there.
great white north stuff. I love it, dude. Eric, dude, we appreciate you coming on. Remind everybody where they can follow you on the internet and everything else.
Yeah, it's EFawcett7 on Twitter. And if you want some more basketball talk, the Florida Basketball Hour is a podcast I host. So thanks for having me on once again, guys. I am the redshirt senior of guests on the podcast, and I always love coming on. So thank you.
Yeah, you've extended your streak for most appearances on our show. So appreciate that.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Hold it down, Eric.
Hi.
All right. Eric Fawcett. Always enjoy having him on. Florida Gators basketball.
You don't have any more takes. What we got next?
Not so fantastic. All right, let's give a shout out to our friend Carlton Black from Cardinal Financial. If you are looking for a home loan, a conventional loan, a jumbo loan, construction loan, down payment assistance loans, refinancing in Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, or Virginia, give them a call. 404-769-5501, 404-769-5501, Carlton.Black, CardinalFinancial.com. Again, Carlton.Black at CardinalFinancial.com. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and Virginia Silk. It is everybody's favorite time where we discuss, pardon me, Gator News of the Week. So Florida Gators basketball goes 0-3 versus South Carolina. In baseball, ranked number 5 in the country, drop all the way down to number 15 in the country. After reading some things, doesn't even look like the Gators should be ranked that high. Have a lot of things to worry about, some energy concerns, some batting concerns, definitely some pitching concerns. Hopefully they can get it figured out. I think that there are 6 teams in the SEC in the top 12, so it will not.
That's why Nick Benning ignoring my calls. That's why Nick Benning exactly ducking it. Okay.
He's trying to find the next punter to hype because his baseball team is struggling. You know, he came on here pumping their tires before the season started.
So big expectations.
Best team they ever had.
He lied.
Came on this show, came onto your show and lied to you straight in the face.
It's not respectful. We got to get him to come back on here and face these lies.
Should we call him real quick?
Yeah, see if he's available.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Cam, reach out to Nick, see if he's available. He's got some things to speak on. Trey Mann, we talked a little bit about it, heading to the NBA, anywhere from a top 30 to top 30 pick. So shout out to guard Trey Mann and his future NBA career. Colin Castleton, like we talked about, is heading into the NFL draft with no agent. He does have the opportunity to come back after hearing from some teams. Noah Locke, guard, and guard Quez Glover both entered the NCAA transfer portal. Like Eric said, there's about 1,200 players in there. So best of luck to the both of them.
Whew.
Let's see. Corey Bender with Rivals.com said that the Gators have reached out to Marshall guard Jared West and Boston College forward CJ Felder, who we've already talked about. You will hear a bunch more names over the next few weeks, and hopefully the Gators are able to secure a few transfers so that they have a successful season next year. Florida Gator great gymnast Ann Woods Smith is going to be inducted to the COSIDA Academic Hall of Fame, Academic All-American Hall of Fame, pardon me, as a part of the 2021 class. She is just Florida's 7th overall selection and the 4th gymnast to join the COSIDA Academic All-America Hall of Fame, which is awesome. Speaking of women's gymnastics, the 2021 Florida Gator Women's Collegiate Gymnastics team had 7 players make the Women's Collegiate Gymnastics Association All-America list. They include Alyssa Bauman, Leah Clapper, Ellie Lazari, Naya Reed, Savannah Schoenher, Megan Skaggs, and Trinity Thomas. So shout out to those 7 ladies for their All-America honors. Florida Gators lacrosse beat Cincinnati to start AAC play. They beat them 19-5, which is the fewest goals the Gators have allowed in lacrosse since, I believe, 2018 is what I read. Shannon Cavanaugh earned her 3rd midfielder of the week honor for the AAC. Kara Trembetta nabbed her 3rd defender of the week honor. Sarah Resnick was tabbed as freshman of the week for the fourth time this season. And Grace House earned a spot on the honor roll for the 4th time this year. Women's soccer beat then unbeaten UNF, University of North Florida, 2-0. And then they tied the University of Georgia in double overtime last week. Beta Olson was the SEC Offensive Player of the Week for her 2nd double goal match of the spring. Gator softball's 3-1. They swept LSU, who was ranked in the top 15. I think they're ranked number 13. Unfortunately, they did lose their midweek match to UCF, who was ranked number 22. Junior Elizabeth Hightower of the softball team was named SEC Pitcher of the Week. Number 2, men's tennis beat number 31, Arkansas. Women's tennis beat Ole Miss 4-1 and Mississippi State 4-1. The Florida Gators track and field program announced that associate head coach Steve Lemke is going to be stepping down at the end of the season, and he is going to be retiring. Melanie Welty is going to become a new associate head coach for the women's team, and then Nick Peterson is going to step into Steve Lemke's old role for the men's team. And then finally, UF Gators women's volleyball beat Texas A&M in 4 sets to finish the regular season 19-3. And that is your Gator News of the Week.
Yeah, I appreciate that segment. You really prepare for that, man.
You know, I try.
It's a work of art, man.
You know, I really try. I put my heart and soul into this podcast, you know?
I appreciate it. I mean, nobody else tells you. I got to let you know, man. It's quite the work.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Speaking of putting their heart and soul into something, do you want to tell us about how Greg Brunt puts his heart and soul into selling insurance and financial services?
Just elite at what he do, you know? Yep. Right? Just some guys just wake up in the morning and just do things in an elite manner, and Greg's one of those guys. He can insure you.
Mm-hmm.
The best of the best when it comes to insuring you, man. Visit bruntinsurance.com, the website. Again, it's bruntinsurance.com for all your insurance needs, whether it's life insurance, renter's insurance, home insurance, car insurance, trailer insurance, motorcycle insurance, or any financial needs, my man Greg gonna take care of you. Great customer service. Again, bruntinsurance.com. And if you don't have the internet for some weird reason, you just got a call from your home phone. It's 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies. Greg, what it do?
I love it. So I don't have a lot to talk about in this part of our show, but I did see on Twitter today from Matt Wyatt, who covers the SEC for a radio station, has said that he hears in the next 5 years there's going to be a new scheduling model and rotation for SEC scheduling. It may involve some reshuffling of divisions, but it's going to create a more frequent rotation among all league schools. So would you be in favor of reshuffling any of the SEC divisions? Would you trade anybody from our division to the West or West to the East?
I would like from the West. I like the way it's set up, to be honest with you. If I could push somebody out, I would probably push Mizzou out, because that's a game I don't want to visit ever, really. I don't want to go to their stadium, so I push them out. For maybe Auburn. Bring Auburn over on this side. It's a nice game to visit on a home and away regular basis.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I thought is I don't think Mizzou fits a lot of the SEC as a whole, but I think that they fit more with that Arkansas variety than they do with the Florida-Georgia variety, you know? So I would happily trade Missouri for Auburn. I think it'd be fun.
Arkansas and Missouri feels like they just – owe each other a rivalry for some weird reason. It should be like
They need a fight over we need to find something for them to battle over. A stick or something. You know, like we battle Georgia every year for a canoe.
Right.
Or an oar. I'm sorry. So we need to find something that they can battle over.
A razorback tusk?
A razorback tusk. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm trying to think. So Missouri has the Ozarks. And that goes in Arkansas, so we can call it the Battle of the Ozarks.
The Battle of the Ozarks. I like that.
Yeah, we can get what's his name that was from Ozark to, you know, MC or be a special guest for the first one.
The Meth Bowl.
What else? So anything else on your mind before you take us to a Manscaped ad read and then we take it home?
No, I don't have anything on my mind. I had a great question for you, but I forgot it now at this point.
Yeah. Well, you can ask me on Friday.
I got you. I'll see you. Hey, man, I'm excited about pulling up and hanging out with you, man. I'm coming out there with the wife, you know, Easter weekend. No kids. Should be fun, man.
We finally convinced you to come a little bit further into Tampa rather than staying out by the casino.
I just had a free the casino free stay sound great, but when you guys told me it was like an hour away from everything we were doing, like I can scrap that shit. I mean, whatever. Beep that out.
No, I mean, I know your wife. I don't know. She doesn't want to sit in the car for an hour, you know?
Not at all. Y'all actually saved me a good argument, probably.
You're welcome. A drink's on you then. All right, very good.
At the place, yeah, I got you. At the center. At the center, all the drinks on me, bro. You don't have to pay for anything, Dan.
Well, I appreciate that. I didn't buy tickets or anything, so I'm just going to show up. I'm not going to have issues, right?
You're official. You're a made man.
Very good. So take us to a Manscaped ad read, and let's take it home.
I need some fresh clippers. I lost. I got to bring it to you there. I think I left my Manscaped clippers in Chicago, man. The Lawnmower 3.0.
We didn't even talk about your trip to Chicago. Tell everybody how it was.
Oh, I did, man. I had an amazing time. Oh, yeah. Talk about it. I had a great time, man. Dan gave me some pointers. It was hard. It was hard to get into some of these places, and it's just everything's just not open. Fairly progressive city, so a lot of their like testing and taking temperatures at doors, numbers. They're real strict on a lot of things in Chicago, so a lot of the tourist attraction wasn't open. But beautiful city, man. Just amazing. Just driving into it, the architecture is crazy. The boat tour was. Which is like next level as far as like the stuff you learn, being able to see that city. They talked about each place and the historic significance of it. Just a great time, man. Great food, the culture.
What was the weather like? Were you in decent weather?
Whew. So we got there. It said 30. Feels like, I think it said 30. Feels like, I think 17. 50 miles per hour winds, right? So I got out of the, when we walked out of the airport, like I felt every bit of that 50 miles per hour, like every breeze of it. So we get in the taxi or the Uber, the guy's like, man, you picked a perfect time to come. The weather's great. I'm like, man, it's crazy cold out here. Funny story, we sit in the car like 5 minutes. My son listens to a lot of like rap. He said, man, dad, it's so cold. How do Chief Keef and these guys do drive-bys?
What are you teaching this kid?
he's familiar with hip hop and the Chicago rap scene. So he's just like, I was like, you got a great point. It's too cold to shoot people, son. That's a great point. But overall, man, like we went by Kanye's crib, took some pictures out there, just did a lot of sightseeing, man.
Okay.
Went by the Bean. And it's incredibly clean, man. I thought it was gonna be a little New York City vibe. The streets were crazy clean. Downtown. Let me clarify that.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you this. I lived in Iowa for a couple of years for my first job out of work. I travel a lot, but we spent a lot of time in Chicago. Chicago is one of my favorite cities in the country, and I think we talked a little bit about that before you went. And it's too cold for me. That wind whipping around those buildings and everything else, it's a little too chilly. But from everything that you'd want, I mean, it's one of the best summer cities and spring cities that you could even imagine. With the water there, they have a beach, they've got a huge pier. There's so much, you know, culture and food and everything. It's a blast of a city, and I hope that you get the chance to go back when it's a little bit more open, because, man, there's a lot of stuff that you still need to hit.
Yeah, I'm going next year, April. Like, me and the wife talked about it. We want to go back, no kids, and we want when it's a little bit warmer. So her birthday's April, so we're looking like spring next year. I'm going back, man. I got to catch stuff, some more things open, some restaurants and museums that we want to hit that we didn't get to check out. So definitely going back, but great first visit, man. Enjoyed it.
That's awesome, dude. Well, I'm happy for you, and I hope you get the chance to go back. So we'll order you some new Manscaped clippers. How about that? I'll reach out to our guy. Let's see what he
does. Oh, shout out to Manscaped.com. We didn't finish the ad read.
Yeah.
Manscaped.com, the best of the best when it comes to men's grooming needs. Lawnmower 3.0 is snag proof. You're not going to cut the family jewels. You can run it in the shower. You're not going to break it. You're not going to electrocute yourself or anything crazy. And also, they got the weed whacker. If you have any nostril hair problems, earlobe problems, they got everything you need to get hair off of your body at manscaped.com. And also got some ball deodorant. It's about to warm back up. Then I went outside. We talking about when it go outside, it says like 80. It said 82, feel like 91 the other day in South Florida.
That's a big difference.
Thank God I didn't leave my ball deodorant in Chicago.
Woo!
Right?
I'm just looking at what the weather's going to be for Friday. It's going to be nice.
And that ball deodorant on deck, baby.
It should be in the 70s. Might be a little cool, but we'll be all right.
Got to keep them fresh.
That's right. Let's see. So Manscaped, I was just looking at their website. So not only do they have all of that, they have the Plow 2.0, which is a single blade face razor. They've got foot deodorant now. They've got a cologne now. They've got ball wipes. They've got, obviously, the
ball wipes. Tell me more. Tell me more about ball wipes. Tell me more.
Yes, sir. It's called the crop mop. It's crop mop. Button body wet.
Yo,
that's a great name.
Yo, give me that crop mop.
Easy. Ball, that's what they call butt, it. And body wet wipes. So they're like dude wipes, but better because they're from Manscaped and they sponsor this podcast.
Yeah, Manscaped is ran by a bunch of childish men. I could tell.
Hey, as long as their check's still cash.
I'm with it, man. Shout out to Manscaped. Cool company. I want to get with. We need to hit up Dude Wipes, man.
We did. We're still waiting on a response. I'm sure it's coming any minute.
Hey, Dude Wipes, if y'all listening, man, I need some Dude Wipes.
But they also have soap. They've got body wash. They got all sorts of stuff. You can get put on a little subscription model where they send you the same stuff every month or couple months, VIP pricing, all sorts of stuff. So manscaped.com, best of the best, all your men's grooming needs.
Use coupon code SG at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. Again, coupon code SG. I almost forgot the coupon code.
And that's how they know that we're doing this.
Just can't be doing this for free.
Keep buying stuff. It's almost Christmas time again. So, all right. Well, hey, Silk, who's your favorite Chicago rapper of all time?
My favorite Chicago? Come on. It's Kanye. Favorite Chicago rapper? Who's your second favorite? Who's your favorite? Go ahead.
I was going to go with Twista.
He's probably favorite. I probably got Common at two.
Yeah, Common's solid. I didn't know Lupe Fiasco was from Chicago.
Yeah,
from
Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, Common's good, man. You've got to be smart to listen to Common. So you and I are there.
And then my third. Speaking of
that,
Silk,
I got
Ratchet.
That announcement that I sent you on text message the other. Ooh, yeah.
My there's third choice named, is Ratchet, probably Chief Keef or something.
There's some female rapper named Katie Got Bands. Never heard of her. She looks.
Katie got, what's out there?
It's her name.
What's out, man?
Bands with a Z. Shout and then there's another one named Sasha Gohard. What's with them describing what they're doing? Anyway, we'll
that's
talk
what
about
you got to let them know how you're giving it up in the rap name so they know if they want to listen to your music.
Yeah.
If it's just Tasha and you don't say Gohard, like, I don't really want to listen to her music. Like, what does Tasha do?
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about it that way.
Like Silk the Shocker, he might shock me. So I'm meeting him to see what he says.
Yeah, right. Silk, I think we need to end. Great show. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
Hey,
what
man,
kind of
in
music
the same
do you want me to play?
Whatever you want to play, man.
Do you want to play rap music or do we want to play the new Bruno Mars, Leave the Door Open?
You have a genre, man. I think you need to hit your demographic of you
that's
know what
right.
I'm saying? I like your choice of music sometimes too. It mixes it up. You know, we needed a little bit of everything, some flavor.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Let's do this. Let's shout out. How about my friends, the Steel Woods? Let's do the Steel Woods, and they have a new song called Run On Ahead that just came out a couple days ago. So let's do that, Cam. Run On Ahead by the Steel Woods.
Hey, man. Same corner, same time.
Let's ride. See you Friday. See you on the water. Hey,
let's
got
go.
Water on Friday.
Hey, I'm bringing the selfie stick out of retirement.
No, I can't wait.
Let's go.
All right. Deuces.
Don't think about the times you fell. Watch for cars and just stay above the wheels. Remember where it is you came from and don't lose sight of where you wanna go. Pedal like the devil is nipping at your heels. Run on ahead. Run on ahead, run on ahead, I'll be right behind you. Run on ahead, run on ahead, run on ahead, I'll be right behind you. coffee in your favorite cup. Then I washed all of your snap shirts and your jeans. It's funny I can feel your love so strong from out there on the road. And you can feel mine while you're running down your dream. Run on ahead, run. I'll see you where both of our souls are new. Run on ahead, run on ahead, run on ahead, I'll be right behind.
Golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.